You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal!
Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores,
goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League podcast for the Christmas period. There are, of course, two sets of fixtures. The ones we're going to look at are on Boxing Day and the 27th of December. Pete Farries is going to join us shortly. He's going to look at the televised game between Newcastle and Sheffield Wednesday on Boxing Day. And then we're going to have a little look at Brighton against QPR. And finally, Derby against Birmingham as Gianfranco Zola faces his first away game in charge of the Blues. Also coming up, we're going to be hearing from Gav P, his League One treble, and Al Ross on League Two. First of all, though, we begin with Newcastle and Sheffield Wednesday. So Newcastle are priced at 4-6. The draw is 14-5, and Sheffield Wednesday are 9-2. Pete Farries, Newcastle, are they a good 4-6?
They're unbelievable. The value is ridiculous. I mean, I keep coming back every time, Jack, to that 4-6 and thinking, well, okay, Sheffield Wednesday are a phenomenal side. So, you know, point number one, they won a back of 4-6 against a side who've won four of the last five games. You know, that have been superb defensively. They've got, you know, Forestieri back, who've got Adam Reach in good goal-scoring form. Well, not goal-scoring form, but good form. And then I sort of flip again. And I say, well, hang on. Newcastle are unbelievable at home. They've won, what, three games this season that they lost. I mean, the bizarre loss to Blackburn, the bizarre loss to Wolves, and the bizarre loss to Huddersfield, although less bizarre at the time. Do I want to back Sheffield Wednesday, though? I mean, would you? I mean, under Carlos Carvajal, what, three away wins this season? Just 9 away wins since the start of last? I mean, Newcastle, they're a strange side, but I mean, again, I'd frame it like this. Newcastle have already won 9 away games this season.
There's no real reason to argue with you at all in this. I mean, looking at Newcastle's home form, yeah, they hit 6 against Preston, 3 against Ipswich, 4 against Birmingham. Yeah, the Blackburn one could have been a blip. But I suppose Sheffield Wednesday aren't the kind of side that you feel would score and then dig in and hold out. They play nicer than that, if you sort of get what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, they're a great side. They are a really, really good side, but their away form under Carlos Carvajal is not good enough. It's what cost them last season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hillsborough last season was a fortress, but away from home, 6 away wins all season, most of those toward the end of the season as well. I just couldn't be on that 9-2.
No, I think what's misleading at the moment, by the way, about the championship form is that there's been a succession of games at the same location. So if you look at Sheffield Wednesday's bare form, as you said, Pete, 4 wins in 5, 3 of those have been at home where they are very strong at Hillsborough, which is slightly misleading because they very often you assume it's home away, home away, home away, don't you?
Yeah.
And their away win obviously was against Wolves, who were in transition at that point between managers. So you look at their away form and there's not too much to cheer about for travelling Owls fans this season or last.
No, and then you get down to goal scorers. So, I mean, Forestieri, been in good goal scoring form this season, has won, scored in winning away games. So Huddersfield, for example, Forestieri bagged recently, of course. He scored from the spots against Wolves. It helps, of course, he's a penalty taker as well because it increases his likelihood of scoring because he's got another chance from a very close range, because that's how penalties work. Not sure where I was going with that. But the point still remains that, yeah, Newcastle had that blip. But don't forget, as much as, just to make another point, just as much as they lost to, for example, Forest, both of those red cards were rescinded, weren't they?
They were.
I know that, obviously, we've since had the stuff with John Joe Shelby and things. But so that blip was an unjust blip by the quote-unquote eyes of the appeals court.
And Forrest made hard work of that, to be
fair. Yeah, they did, yeah. It was a late own goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I couldn't be with him. So yeah, Forestieri would be the Sheffield Wednesday goal scorer pick at 13-5. I mean, for Newcastle, Diami's had a goal and had some really good chances recently. He's 13-5. I also Perez got a brace recently, so if he starts 11-5 anytime. But I believe Dwight Gayle has 17 goals this season.
And he's 17-20.
And he's 17-20. I'm not sure if the traders are trying to be funny there or not. But either way, 17-20 Dwight Gayle, unbelievable value. But there is not a doubt in my mind that Newcastle will play here. 4-6 is just, it just goes on the slip for the weekend. I mean, Jack, I was saying to you privately earlier on, I think this is one of the best weeks of outright betting in the Championship I think I've almost ever seen.
Yeah, there are some weeks when you look at the fixture list and you sort of wince a bit, don't you, and think, yeah, oh, it's going to be hard to pick out a few there. But this week, a few of them do look quite clear-cut. I'm just going to read you out a couple of the enhanced odds, Pete. I think this one might appeal. Matt Ritchie to score and Newcastle to win. That's boosted to fours.
Great. He's been brilliant this season. Made a step down for a lot of money, but he is a quality player.
And is usually on free kick duty as well.
Yes, yeah.
Dwight Gayle to score, Newcastle to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 16-5. That's now 7-2.
I ain't arguing with that. And on the other side of it, I mean, another one of the enhanced odds, Jack, is Forestieri to score and Sheffield Wednesday to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. 14. So if I think Wednesday are going to win, I think it's likely that Forestieri scores. And if Sheffield Wednesday to win, then 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is likely because Newcastle have lost three games at home this season. One of them 1-0 to Blackburn. One of them 2-0, and one of them 2-1. Yeah. Wolves was the 2-0 in Forest. Blackburn was the 1-0. Wolves was the 2-0. Huddersfield was the 2-1. So if you do fancy Forestieri, if you disagree, then I think that 14-1 is great value.
Yeah, and the final enhanced odds, Stephen Fletcher to score and Sheffield Wednesday to win was 9s, now 12.
I have no strong opinion on that.
No, most people don't on Stephen Fletcher. Newcastle 4-6, draw 14-5, Sheffield Wednesday 9-2. We're firmly in the Newcastle camp on that one. Have a look at the prices of the goal scorers, as we mentioned, 17-20 for Dwight Gayle. I know some people scoff at backing odds on goal scorers, but when they're in that kind of form, it really is hard to persuade people otherwise.
Messi's more often not on odds on.
Yeah, exactly. Ronaldo as well. Yeah, I mean, we're not comparing Dwight Gayle to either of those players right now, but his form is pretty good at the moment. Right, let's move on to the other two matches, which are taking place on the 27th of December. There's one lunchtime kickoff and there's one 3 o'clock as well. We'll start with Brighton against QPR down on the South Coast. Brighton 6-10, draw 14-5, and QPR at 11-2. Well, Ian Holloway has returned to Loftus Road, and so far it's been a bit of a nightmare, hasn't it?
It's been utterly horrendous. He said in a post-match interview the other day, the interviewer said to him, "So Ian, do you believe you've got a goal scorer at the club?" And Ian Holloway says, "I don't know, but if there is one, can they put their hand up?" It is that kind of problem at the moment. They've scored one in the last five. Some of them they've lost, and you could argue maybe okay, Derby and Villa. They lost very narrowly to Villa, of course. They lost very late and very narrowly to Derby. But Wolves, Rotherham, an inconsistent and strange Ipswich. Not for me. Not even in a million years for me. This is a side who away from home have won three times this season. At Wigan, who, you know, if I need to remind anyone, are second bottom. Against Cardiff, who are currently fifth bottom. And away from home against Fulham, which is a great result, and I can't comment on that. But the point still remains, they're playing the league's best home team. That's what they're doing. They're playing the league's best home team. They're playing a team who don't concede, really. Have only conceded, in four of their home games this season.
Yep.
Yeah, 6-10 looks pretty decent.
It's pretty safe, doesn't it? As you mentioned, they don't concede much. Brentford scored two there in a shock win back in September. Preston scored two there as well. And then only Villa and Fulham, who you could argue are one of the four, they are one of the form teams in the division, have scored there. Yeah. Leeds failed to score. Norwich failed to score. Wolves failed to score. Barnsley, Huddersfield and Rotherham and Forest, actually, all left without a goal to their name.
It's impossible to see how QPR do anything here, other than it's the Championship, so strange things happen. That's the only thing I can come across. I kind of I had a little think, I had a little search, because I thought sometimes we've got to try and find a counter-argument. QPR haven't beaten Brighton in... I mean, I'm not a big head-to-heads player, but they haven't beaten Brighton since 2004. I know that both sides went away from the leagues for a while, but that's still the case. Since 2013, which is kind of when they've come back together, QPR haven't beaten them. They've lost both times at Brighton without scoring. Last season, they lost 4-0 in April, and they lost March of 2014, 2-0. They are not, in my opinion, going to have a single chance. There's goal scorers here that are interesting as well. I mean, let's be fair. Glenn Murray, 14 goals this season. He's even money. It's 11-8 for Murray and Brighton. Plus, he scored the winner against Birmingham on telly. Plus, he keeps scoring on telly, Jack.
He loves the cameras, doesn't he?
He loves it. He's absolutely tearing it up at the moment. So even money anytime for Glenn Murray is an absolute delight. If you have to pick a QPR player, I mean, I'd look at Charon Cherry because I always think he's good value and I mention him quite a lot. But, of course, Anthony Kanoka as well at 7-4 anytime. Scored the other day for the first time since, obviously, a personal tragedy. And the other thing I'd say is, more pertinently possibly, he scored a brace when QPR went to Brighton back in April. Mm. In which case, I just think that 7-4 is quite interesting.
He tends to score in a run, doesn't he, Anthony Kanoka?
He does. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So, right. And with him getting that goal at the weekend, then perhaps that's time now to put the very sad personal tragedy behind him, sort of concentrate on his game, and you never know, he might go on a scoring run. Both those players, Pete, by the way, are subject to our enhanced odds. So, Knockhart score and Brighton to win, that's 5-2. Murray to score and Brighton to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 was 19-5. That's now 4-1.
I kind of wish they were switched around a little bit. I wish it was Murray and Brighton and then Knockhart in a 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. To be honest, I think that Knockhart and Brighton at 5-2 is great. And I think Brighton, if it was 1-0, 2-0 or 3-0, I'd be weirdly more tempted,
right?
I think. Because I'm not entirely convinced at all that QPR score. But I think both of those enhanced odds are great. And as much as I like Washington, I wouldn't be looking at him or QPR, and I wouldn't be looking at Idrissa Seia, who's still coming back from injury. So, back Brighton.
Yeah.
Back Brighton, back Brighton, back Brighton.
Is there any value on Brighton to win an under 2.5 goals? Because looking at QPR, but take out the Ipswich match, and they've only conceded one in each of their last five away games, if you take that Ipswich result out.
And they were unlucky against Villa, and they were a bit unlucky against Derby, you could argue. The only thing that worries me about the unders goals in that sort of respect, Brighton's wins so far, 3-0, 3-0, this is at home, I should say, by the way, 1-0, 2-0, so fair enough on those two. Then there was a 2-2, a 1-0, fair enough, a 5-0, a 1-1, a 2-1, a 2-0. There's no real pattern either way. So I didn't have a big opinion on that. To be honest, if it was a kind of a gun-to-head time, I'd play Brighton and overs.
Right,
actually,
okay.
If it was gun-to-head time, I'd have a look at the 6-4 for Brighton and overs, because I think they could score a few. And if QPR somehow magically scored a goal, because Brighton are always scoring twice at home, I think at home this season it's only 4 occasions they've not scored at least twice. I would at least think that they were still going to score the goals that I needed.
Okay, yeah, you feel as though QPR's defence isn't that bad, but you feel as though it's the striking department that definitely needs work come January. Okay, so that's 12:30 kickoff on Tuesday the 27th of December, Brighton against QPR. Right, Pete, the final match we're going to look at is Derby against Birmingham. Now, Derby are 8-11, Birmingham are 9-2, the draw is 13-5. If I was a trader, I possibly would have had Derby a little shorter here.
If I was a trader, I'd have had Derby at a lot shorter. This is my second best bet of the weekend. This is my next best, to use punting parlance here. I am so unbelievably all over Derby that it's possibly a bit unhealthy.
Not sure Derby's pleased about it either.
I've gambled responsibly on this because I've already had a gigantic single on this. Gigantic for me. I mean, look, let's just take this just off the top, first and foremost. How many of their last 10 games have Derby won?
9.
It's 7 in the league.
Oh, close.
7 of 10 in the league. They drew against Fulham last weekend, having, of course, led, then being behind, and then coming back into it. Next, what did Birmingham do last Saturday.
Threw away a one-goal lead.
They did, having played, let's be fair, quite well. So now, Birmingham have had the manager they all love, who was popular, who went. You can see your team going, right, look, we all miss this guy. We can't believe he's gone because he was doing brilliantly. Zola's in, let's work for him and let's try and get our confidence back up. Already with fragile confidence, they then get hit in the last minute on telly in front of extra thousands of people and lose in the last minute. Where are their heads at? Add, on top of that, the fact that, yes, they haven't been losing a lot of games away from home. They've lost just 3 times away from home, but those have come in the last 5. Add to that the fact that actually the likelihood of them winning is pretty narrow. They've only won 3 times away from home this season. There are, to be fair, a lot of draws. But then look at Derby, who haven't conceded at home in the last 6. Who've been scoring for fun at home as well recently. 2-3, 1-3. Who just look so, so strong. And 8-11. When Rowett was sacked, I had £3 on Birmingham to be relegated. It probably won't happen because there's sadly some very poor teams in the league this season. But just out of interest, I had a couple of quid on them. And they were in the triple figures. Because I just thought, I might at least get a bit of fun from this. Now, will they drop that far down? I don't know. But the point is that they were overperforming in terms of the sum of the parts for me to such an extent that now that Rowett's gone, I think we might see them drop a long way down. Whether it hits the relegation zone or not, I don't know.
Well, you got to look at where they were when he took over.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, they've just been absolutely knocked off the face of the planet by Bournemouth, haven't they? 8-0. Mm. So, look, Derby are 8-11 here. That's incredible. Tom Ince has hit some great form as well recently, hasn't he, under Steve McLaren, who seems to have unleashed Ince in a much more productive way. So 8 goals overall this season isn't incredible until you consider that 7 of them have come since the 5th of November.
Yes.
So 7 of 5 any time is unbelievable value for him. Now, of course, you know, Jukovic got ahead of the other day.
He scored 3 of the last 5 away goals for Birmingham, by the way, Jukovic. So if you are looking for a Birmingham goal scorer, that might be the one.
Che Adams, of course, used to live in Derby, I believe. So 3-1 for him to go back to his old stomping ground in terms of where he used to live. But there is... It's weird this week, I'll be honest, because the 3 TV games all look worryingly obvious. But also enjoyably obvious.
Yeah.
Like I say, you will hear my favourite about the weekend in a second, but to get Derby 8-11 here, undoubtedly my next best, to get Brighton, Newcastle and Derby in a 3.6-1 treble is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, Birmingham don't concede a lot, do they? So maybe Derby to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, 8-5 is perhaps another way of looking at it.
Yeah, but then at the same time, this is a different Birmingham, isn't it?
Mm.
And I have a real sort of sad sort of melancholy about Gianfranco Zola, because I adored this guy as a player. Like, I loved him as a player.
Posters on your wall?
No. He played for Chelsea. I was a Borough fan. In fact, I watched him at Wembley one time and just thought, this guy is unbelievable.
Oh, you had Phil Stamp, didn't you, on your wall?
Yeah, it was Phil. Robbie Mustard is my favourite ever Middlesbrough player. But that's a conversation for a different day, perhaps. But if you look at his points per game, for example, it's not great. I mean, he was averaging 1 point a game at West Ham.
Mm.
1.5 at Watford, so that's not too bad. 0.73 of a point at Cagliari.
Mm.
And then 1.63 points per game at Al Arabi. Now, without being funny, Jack, the managerial team of you and I, forget the grammar, we could get around about 1.5.
I reckon so.
Per game in that league.
We're both quite ambitious. I think we could.
Yeah. I don't know. I just look at this and I just think 8-11, mate, is just absolutely... Mm. That 3.6-1 treble is an absolute MacDaddy. And if there wasn't another mind-blowing bet in the Championship this weekend, Derby would without question be my nap.
Well, we're going to hear it shortly, your mind-blowing bet. But 8-11, yeah, is the pick. And Tom Ince of the goal scorers has to be the pick because Darren Bent hasn't quite fired yet, has he?
No.
He scored once or twice, but he's not as prolific as certainly he should be. Pete, thank you very much for your thoughts on those games. We're going to hear from you on 3 other games that kick off at 3. 3 o'clock shortly. So there's Pete's thoughts on the three televised games. There are plenty of other matches taking place on Boxing Day, most of them kicking off at 3 p.m. First of all, let's hear what he thinks about Preston against Leeds.
Preston is 6-4, the draw 11-5, and Leeds 11-5 this weekend. And I was surprised. Yes, Preston are exceptionally good at Deepdale. They've lost, of course, all season in the Championship at home. Well, very rarely indeed. They lost their opening three, and since then have only lost to Newcastle at Deepdale. But it has gone off the rails a little bit at Preston, albeit 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss from the last 5 at home is good, and their form generally is okay. You get the feeling all is not quite right at Preston, albeit Simon Grayson continues to do a phenomenal job. And speaking of phenomenal jobs, stand up Gary Monk. His side have been absolutely unbelievable of late. They've won all but 3 of their last 10, i.e. 7 of the last 10, if you will, and they've just been scoring goals. Now, admittedly, Chris Wood, a man who, of course, has been a big part of that, has not been around and may well be struggling for this game too, so you do have to worry about Leeds scoring here. But to be able to get a draw no bet in this market for Leeds at such a great looking price, odds against 21-20 if you prefer your plus a goal market, then 4-9 is your current Leeds plus one price. But there is no doubt that Leeds, with the form they're in, simply because of their price, are a decent play.
Now, let's get Pete's thoughts on Huddersfield against Nottingham Forest.
Huddersfield at 4-5 would be the first of my picks. The draw 5-2, Forest at 18-5. Forest missing, of course, Henry Lansbury, a key member of that side, I think. And ultimately, Huddersfield at home, only 2 teams have won there this season. Wigan, okay, a bit of a weird one considering how weak Wigan are away from home, but Sheffield Wednesday. And that's it. That is it. And in fact, they've won all folks, but 3 home games this season. Forest away from home are not that good, are they? 2 back-to-back wins, so Ipswich and Barnsley were fantastic results, but they were battered at Reading, battered at Derby, beaten at Blackburn. They are still not an away side. And 4-5 for Huddersfield Town is a very, very good play indeed. Now, Elias Kachunga is averaging 1-2 at the moment, 5 in his last 10. He's 23-20, and he scored all but 1 of his goals this season at home as well. So, a guy with 8 league goals, you've got to argue, is a good home poke at 23-20. Naki Wells scored the winner at home the last time they played at home, and is 13-10 any time as well. There is some real quality in that Huddersfield side, and of course they'll all be buoyed as well by what was a phenomenal couple of days when David Wagner turned down the Wolfsburg job to stay at Huddersfield and complete what he's trying to do. So that's another massive bonus in the Huddersfield bank, and undoubtedly Huddersfield on the outrights of 4-5 are one of the best bets of the week. By the way, the scorecast of Kachunga and Huddersfield, 13-8. But definitely, undoubtedly, 13-8 for Huddersfield is great. And of course, there is another way to play this, of course, which is Huddersfield by a goal. 13-5, Huddersfield -1, Forest +1. Why? Well, look at their home wins this season. 2-1, 2-1, 1-0, 2-1, 2-1, 1-0, 2-1. So having won all but 3 home games this season, every single one of their wins has come by a goal. Huddersfield -1, Forest +1, which is Huddersfield by a goal, is 13-5.
Well, as you well know, if you listen to this podcast regularly, Pete is not a man to hold his opinions back. And this is very much the case in this next preview. As a little disclaimer, a warning for you that he's very passionate about this particular bet. It's Reading against Norwich.
Reading are 19-10 to beat Norwich, who are 13-8 favourites in this market. The draw is 11-5. I want to find the trader who priced this and both slap and kiss them on the mouth. Because quite frankly, what on earth? Norwich have lost 4 of the last 5 away games. They have won just 3 times on the road this season. And yes, Reading have lost at Fulham, they've lost at Leeds, for example, recently. The key word there, though, is at. Because at Majeski, they've beaten Forest, Burton, Bristol City and Sheffield Wednesday. They have won all but 4 home games. The teams who've taken points from Reading, Brighton, Birmingham, Derby, Villa, all sides that ostensibly, albeit one recent head-to-head wouldn't say that, are better than Norwich. I mean, you could argue that, well, Norwich have been to some good places recently. The 5-0 loss, for example, at Brighton. The 1-0 loss, for example, at Derby. But folks, Reading are a good side. Reading are a good side. And you're getting 19-10 at the time of recording. Let me just repeat that. 19-10 for the third best team in the league against a side who are known right now to be utterly out of form. It is, to me, utter, unadulterated madness that you're getting 19-10. Now, those of you out there who want to play the draw no bet because of the value, that's odds against. That is 21-20. The plus one is 1-2. How can you turn that down? I do not, for the life of me, understand why Norwich are favourites for this market. If you know, tweet me at Pete_Farries. I don't know, because the form lines don't back it up. The general how the season is going, if you will, doesn't back it up. There's no injuries, there's no managerial change. None of that backs it up. 19-10 at the time of recording. It's craziness. Now, Gareth McCleary, as we said, good goal scoring form recently. Okay, I think it's only 4 in his last 10, but he has been scoring at home and been looking really, really decent. Roy Behrens scored a couple the other weekend. He's 3-1. Kermagant is 5 in the market at 9-5. But there is no way, even if this doesn't come in, as a punter, I think if you are looking for a bet in the Championship, it is borderline your obligation to play Reading at 19-10. Or the draw no bet, I don't care, but it's got to be a pro Reading bet. So folks, after that whole diatribe, I wonder what you think my nap of the weekend might be. And do you know what, this weekend I flirted with the 21-20 draw no bet. I thought, play it safe, Pete, you've had a good few weeks. This might not land. This is the Championship. We know in the Championship, crazy things happen. But I'm playing Reading at 19-10 as my bet of the week, my nap of the week. No question, no argument, no debate. It might not come in because that's what the world of betting is. But this is amongst one of the best bets I have seen in terms of price to likelihood for a very long time. My nap of the week is Reading at 19-10.
And you can hear more from Pete Farries on next week's podcast as he takes a look at the televised games on the 29th and 30th of the month, including Aston Villa against Leeds. Right, on to League One then. Plenty of value to be found, as always. A very competitive division with Scunthorpe still leading the way after a 3-0 victory on Saturday against Millwall. One of the teams in hot pursuit of the iron are Sheffield United, and one man who knows a lot about them and about this division is Gav P.
Here are my three favourite shouts for the festive feast of League One action. 3 o'clock kickoffs on Boxing Day, starting with my nap selection, which is Fleetwood to win and over 2.5 goals in the game at home to Bury. Fleetwood have won their last 5 games straight at home. Bury have lost their last 5 games straight away from home. Bury have actually lost their last 12 games straight. It could be 13 straight defeats for Bury come this Boxing Day. No points from 36 so far, but they have started to score a few goals at Bury. They've actually scored 6 in their last 3 games, and they have taken the lead in each of those last 3 games, having lost them all. So there is a number of ways to play Fleetwood Town. The one I love the most is Fleetwood to win and over 2.5 goals. That has landed in their last 4 wins at home and is definitely a play at 11-8. You can also play Fleetwood to come from behind and win or draw at 18-5, or come from behind and win at 13-2. But my nap selection is Fleetwood to win and over 2.5 goals at 11-8. My next bet is my side, Sheffield United, to beat Oldham on Boxing Day at Bramall Lane. They are 4-9 to do so. It seems a solid 4-9, but again, I am looking for over 2.5 goals in the match. This is more of a gamble than it first appears, with only 3 of Oldham's 11 away games in the league being over 2.5 goals. But the Blades have found their scoring touch again. 2 at Coventry, 2 at Bolton in the FA Cup, and 4 last time out at home to Swindon. It could have been 7 or 8. Sheffield United had 19 shots on target against Swindon. And with a bumper crowd and the Blades in second, I can see plenty of attacking intent from Sheffield United. Mark Duffy is starting to hit top form, and he's a play at 9-5 anytime. He hit 2 at home to Swindon last time they played at Bramall Lane, did the Blades. And Billy Sharp scored 2 at Coventry as well, so he is definitely a play anytime at 17-20. But I'm going for the Blades to beat Oldham and over 2.5 goals in the match at 11-10. My final bet is for another team to win and over 2.5 goals in the game, which is Peterborough to beat Gillingham at home. The Posh are top of the current form guide over six games with 15 points, and they are trying to cement their place in the playoffs. They've taken a Gillingham side who have been pretty average so far this season. They sit in 12th, 6 points behind Peterborough, having played a game more. Gillingham have lost 4 in 5 away, with 4 of them games being over 2.5 goals, and in fact only 2 of Gillingham's away games so far this season have been unders. A slight concern for Peterborough at the moment is the fact that they don't win back-to-back league games at home. They battered Chesterfield last time at home 5-2, but they did beat Notts County in the FA Cup as well, so confidence is sky high. Look at Gwion Edwards anytime. You have to look at him anytime for Peterborough from midfield. 4 goals in 4 games, and he's very attractive at 13-8 anytime. But I like Peterborough. They are 5-6 to win, but I'm taking them to win and over 2.5 goals at 7-5. My Boxing Day treble in League One is Fleetwood to win and over 2.5 goals at 11-8, which is my NAP selection. Sheffield United to win and over 2.5 goals at 11-10 at home to Oldham. And Peterborough to win and over 2.5 goals at 7-5 to beat Gillingham. Add that all up, it's just under 11-1.
Our final stop before Christmas then is in League Two. And one man who's been picking the winners this season is InPlay Radio's Al Ross.
On the face of it, it's a difficult week to go backing the teams at the very top and the very bottom of the form table. High-flying Wickham are at leaders Plymouth, so I've swerved them for this acca, but I have had a cheeky single bet on Wickham at 14-5 myself. 8 straight wins and almost 3-1. Gotta have a look at it. At the other end of the form table, financially troubled Notts County have had the boost of agreeing a sale, so morale should be higher. The thing is, that sale went through before their FA Cup replay with Peterborough. They lost 2-0, and Peterborough have got that money-spinning bonus of playing Chelsea that Notts County so dearly needed. Add that to the fact that John Sheridan will be on game 2 of a 5-match touchline ban. John Sheridan, who called the club a charity case just a few days ago. And outside of the FA Cup, it's 7 straight losses. Who's visiting? It's Doncaster, the team in third, who've won 5 in 6, the only exception being an away trip to leaders Plymouth. Doncaster should be able to steamroll a club who still face the prospect of a winding up order in court in February. Even money on the outright. Notts County have failed to score in each of their last 4 home league games, so 5-2, Doncaster to nil, if you prefer that one. Notts County are bottom of the form table, but not bottom of the table. That's Newport, a Newport side who lost after extra time on Wednesday night in a match for a third round FA Cup tie at Anfield. And a team who are now protecting their pitch because of previous issues. Graham Wesley had a good new manager bounce when he first came in, a run of 7 games that saw 5 wins, 2 draws, but that run has ended. The 0-0 against Plymouth in the FA Cup is the only game in the last 5 that they haven't eventually lost. Rodney Parade has not been a happy hunting ground either. Only 6 points won at home all season. League 2's giants Portsmouth are on the case, and they have finally woken up. A disappointing 0-0 with Hartlepool last week, but that is still a lot of games unbeaten for Portsmouth, and they have won 18 points on the road. That is more than they've won on their own turf. They're also unbeaten in the last 6 away. They've taken maximum points from 4 of those. It's another even money shout that's too big to ignore. Some of their games have been tight affairs, but others have been very open, and I've got a feeling this could be one of those. It's not one I can back up with stats, other than to say both of these sides have averaged over 2.5 goals this season. So Pompey and over 2.5 goals at 2-1 interests me, more a gut bet than anything else. So that's 2 even money outrights for the acca. Here's an outsider to bump the price up. I say an outsider, but I've told you how good Portsmouth are on the road. Stevenage are better, but they're at home this week. Of all the sides in League 2, only leaders Plymouth have a better away record in the league than Exeter. 7 wins in 11. Although this trip is naturally a far trip, it's a Devon derby against Yeovil, who I've backed a number of times this season and to good effect. However, while saying the wheels are coming off at Yeovil is to massively over-egg the pudding. It's 1 league win in 4, 2 league wins in 7. It's not great form going into a fixture in which they don't have a good record. This Exeter side, with 10 points from the last 4 matches, who've won 4 of the last 5 away, the only exception a 3-2 defeat at Carlisle, they're just too big a price. 8 meetings in the last 6 years, Yeovil's record against Exeter is 1-1, drawn 2, lost 5. Yeovil's 1-win coming back in 2011. To find Exeter on the road at 19-10 is a genuine surprise. Their terrible home form means they're only mid-table, but if you're looking for a psychological boost for Exeter, look no further than last week when they won their first league game at home all season. But hey, it's not their home form we're backing here. They're brilliant on the road. As so often this season, Doncaster at evens are going to be the nap. But add Portsmouth and Exeter for a festive away day treble of 10.6-1.
That's all for the league podcast. We hope that you have or have had a great Christmas, depending on when you're listening to this. Of course, all the bets are available at the William Hill website. Check them out for all the latest prices. All the prices were correct at the time of recording as well, we should point out. Have a good Christmas, and we'll see you for the next set of fixtures.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.